Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co. Hello, everyone. I know you've been waiting for a very long time to be involved with all of the amazing things that we're doing at Rare Drop, and now is the time. We are introducing the Rare Drop Patreon, so if you've ever wanted to get involved with experimental content or being at any of our podcasts early to listen in, well, all of that is available in the new Rare Drop Patreon. Check it out.
Hi, Tim.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Is this a special episode of whispering?
Yeah, we can whisper.
I just want to keep it low. No, I don't like this.
You want to go back to like loud and obnoxious, Kevin?
Yeah. I like that.
I figured you'd enjoy the change of pace.
No, I hate it.
If I talk, like
I don't do well with change.
Everything was just very matter-of-factly.
But don't you think people would be more apt to trust us if I talked like that?
No, I don't think anyone's looking for a Star Wars NPR show. No.
I wouldn't say anyone.
I feel like a lot of people don't want to listen to NPR and Star Wars.
Say the words.
Kevin, take us hyperspace.
Never tell me the odds. Welcome to episode 41 of Star
41.
Wars.
41?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been 42, but we skipped last week because
Sorry, I wasn't feeling good.
I wasn't going to blame it on you. I was going to take the fall with you, but since you took the blame, yeah, it was all Tim's fault.
Yeah, I got my first installment of 5G, so I wasn't feeling all that great.
How was the reception, though?
I heard the second installation is what gives you the super speed.
And then the boosters there on Adel upgrade you to like 6G and 7G, correct?
I mean, that's how Gs work, but sure, Kevin.
Skylus, thank you for 16, and Bandon, thank you for 4. Again, welcome to Star Wars and Scotch. It's the show on the Rare Drop Network where Tim and I talk about Star Wars for however long we can stomach talking about Star Wars. Today we're talking about issues 3 and 4 of the High Republic comic, which definitely turned it up to 11. And I was right. I was right. One of the frames, though, I believe it's in the issue 3. We'll go through it. Is probably one of my favorite comic book frames ever. We also have some rumors. The rumor mill is hot right now. For Star Wars. Why are you making that face?
What were you right about?
What that skier was consumed by the Drengear. Chat was saying no, that wasn't the case.
No, I'm pretty sure we were both in agreement with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
so
we
Tim
both
and I
said
were
that
right.
Was, yeah.
It was more against chat, not you.
You chat.
Yeah, it was definitely against any opportunity, just like they take any opportunity to prove us wrong. Any opportunity we get to prove them wrong, we have to shove it in their face.
Okay, just as long as you weren't trying to prove me wrong.
No, it was
okay,
it was
great.
100% no, aimed at Chad.
Okay, good.
So the rumor mill is hot. So we could actually start with the rumor mill. I think that's the place to start.
That's where I want to start.
So there's three topics, Tim. So go nuts on whichever one you'd like to talk about first.
Okay, go ahead.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
I don't know, pick one out of the hat.
I'll do the one you sounded super excited about. Marvel star Chloe Bennett reportedly playing Star Wars favorite. This comes from InsideTheMagic.net and a host of other places. This is not the only source that I got this from. But actress Chloe Bennett, she is
so good.
Skye Johnson from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, she was so good.
Is rumored...
say it, Kevin.
To be playing...
Tell us who it is.
Dr. Aphra!
Dr. Aphra show is going to be so sick.
The little I've seen and read of Dr. Aphra, she seems perfect.
She is so cool. She is. Dr. Aphra is literally Indiana Jones. She's just Indiana Jones. It's so cool. I'm excited.
So.
And she would be perfect.
Yeah.
She's got this. She's like, she's really like rambunctious and spunky. She's got, she just has a really cool demeanor on screen. I like it.
So.
I think she'd do great.
Rumor is that Dr. Aphra is going to be the, that one.
Ah, Kevin, you got to read the book. It's so good.
I have an hour of the second Aftermath book left.
That's rough. Those Aftermath books.
They some parts drag. This one was much better than the first one, though. This one was much better.
So much story building. Yeah, three is my favorite. They get better.
It's nice to have some context to, you know, you go from Return of the Jedi, where you're like, wow, Han and Leia are so happy, they're going to be happy. And then you go to episode 7, and you're like, what the f*** happens? So at least I have some semblance of context that Han lost Chewie, and Chewie was enslaved on Kashyyyk. Which, by the way, Kashyyyk is getting glassed. I don't know if that plays into the story more. But that breaks my heart, because that is such Isn't a beautiful that- planet.
It gets better, don't worry.
I'm so upset about that. Yeah, I love the Imperial officer.
The Wookiees
officer,
always get shit on, man. I hate it.
Yeah.
They're always getting enslaved.
It's the worst. The one Imperial officer, though, that's on Kashyyyk, that is just high out of his mind the entire time.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I love when Mark Thompson reads his lines and he slurs everything. He's like, blast the blood from the rest of that. You have my permission, authorization codes coming in. Mark Thompson's so good. But yeah, that's how much I have left before I move on to the third book. And Temin's freaky freaking dad coming back. Freaky freaking. A little weird. So yeah, Dr. Aphra, live action. Would that be a movie or a television show, though?
I think that'd be a show.
I do, too.
I don't see... I think Star Wars right now is going to be in show format for a bit.
So Star Wars is shows, Marvel is movies? Well, actually,
I mean,
Marvel's on shows
now. Marvel's killing it in the show department right now.
So do you think they just need to solidify the show base for Star Wars and then they can get back to movies?
Maybe. I mean, like, I think they just have really cool and unique stories that are a lot easier to be told episodically than they are within a two-hour chunk.
I like it.
So, I mean, like, you get more bang for your buck. You get, even within, like, anywhere from, like, 30 to 50 minutes, you're able to develop a character so much more, or you're able to set a scene with far more depth and detail. It's just, I really like these shows. Like, the Falcon Winter Soldier has been phenomenal.
Did you hear?
So good. WandaVision was great. Mando's been awesome.
Did you hear how much Amazon spent on the first season of Lord of the Rings?
No.
$500 million.
Oh, gross.
On the first season.
Oh no, I really hope they get their money's worth.
Yeah, the MMO's canceled, so that's great.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Anywho,
Amazon.
Star Wars.
But yeah, 500 million. Completely not on our show notes or anything, but Katie Sackhoff was interviewed last week, who, by the way, Rare Drop had the pleasure of working with a few weeks ago.
Kevin got to, like, hang out with her.
She is phenomenal. One of my favorite people.
You got to hang
people.
Out with Katie Sackhoff.
I've worked with celebrities for probably two decades now, and she is one of my favorite that I have ever worked with. Paul got to work with her, too, and I'm sure he would have nothing but nice things to say, but Katie's awesome.
So jealous.
And her fiance, Robin, is fantastic, too. But and we got to hang out with Alex and Molly, too. From Star Wars Explained.
Star Wars Explained.
So that was awesome. What she said, though, is that we already knew that nobody knew that Luke was at the end and that they all got fragmented scripts and they were told it was another Jedi. We were never told who that Jedi was. Did you hear who they were told it was, Tim?
No.
They were all told it was Plo Koon.
I thought she said that's who she thought it was.
No, that's who she was told it was.
Oh, fuck. That would have been so cool.
Not as cool as Luke, though.
No, that would have been so neat.
I'm sorry. I did a complete 180. Once I saw Luke, I couldn't. It was the best option for that.
No, but that would... If he survived Order 66 and had been, like, hiding out the whole time...
I do wish it was Mace Windu.
And then heard Grogu's call... Oh, Plo Koon is so much cooler than Mace Windu. I love that.
No, but just to make you mad, I wish it was Mace Windu.
Oh, I would have been pissed. Hey, where that little green guy at?
I mean, Plo could have survived. He was in a ship flying.
Yeah, when he could have just been like hanging out in the Outer Rim somewhere. Like just laying low.
I mean, he still could be alive.
He could still be alive. Oh, could you imagine though? Kevin, what if that's Filoni saying that Plo Koon could be alive?
I'm all for it. Plo Koon's one of my favorite Jedi.
What if?
I didn't even know what Force Judgment was till we started looking at Plo Koon.
Ooh. Oh yeah, Force Judgment's really cool.
It's Force Lightning, but not lethal.
It's Force Lightning with all the lightning, zero the calories.
It's like I'm the Miller Lite of
lightning. It'll tickle.
It's like Budweiser Select.
Yeah. It's platinum.
But Force
it's
Lightning.
Platinum.
Oh, God.
The Force, zero the calories.
Oh, man. One cheat day. I need to have a beer. I haven't had one in quite some time. So Plo Koon's totally dead. That's what they said about Mace Windu, too. Anyway, I thought that was fun. The other rumors, this one we were going to talk about last week, but, we didn't have a show, so we brought it over to this week, but
Sorry.
The supposed synopsis of the Ahsoka series supposedly leaked. This is not confirmed. There is also no on it. So I'm going to read it, and it's basically what Tim and I said it would be, so who knows if this is real.
Really? I don't remember what I said, so go ahead.
Ahsoka Tano is on the hunt for the evil Grand Admiral Thrawn in the hope it will help her locate the missing Ezra Bridger, the young Jedi that disappeared with Thrawn many years ago.
Woohoo!
That is
it.
The alleged leaked piece. Now, we've seen the two most credible... Let me rephrase. There's been three people that have come across the radar that could play Grand Admiral Thrawn. One.
There's only one person.
Was Mads Mikkelsen, who Tim and I desperately want because he's
the
voice.
The only person who could do it. He looks
there's
like him.
There's one
he's
other
the
in
voice.
The. There's one other person in these three people that could pull it off. The other one was Robert Downey Jr. As much as I love him, I don't think he would make a good Thrawn. I love
him.
He's fantastic. No one will ever play Tony Stark like he did. Three, Benedict Cumberbatch. I think he could pull it off.
Ooh. Yeah, okay. All right, so hear me out. Is Benedict Cumberbatch's
also
Thrawn
Google
too close to his con? It's too close to con, dude.
Google the blue fan drawing of him.
I'm just saying, put blue paint over con and you've got Thrawn.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same person.
No, you're right. Oh, I said Mads Mikkelsen. I'm sorry. Lars Mikkelsen
Lars.
Is what I meant. Mads is the other cool, awesome actor brother.
Yeah, I mean, like, he could pull off a Thrawn. A young Thrawn, maybe. But Lars... If Lars Mikkelsen isn't Thrawn, I'm going to be very upset.
Facebook, Austin wants to know what we're drinking tonight. I'm drinking water, don't hate me, but I had my daughter's birthday party and yesterday was cheat day and I really overdid it yesterday, so today is water. I'm trying to be a good boy.
Oh, Zevia.
This is Star Wars and not scotch tonight. Sorry.
We're drinking scotch in our hearts, Chet.
I just wasn't going to drink.
Benedict Cumberbatch, yes, I do agree, could be too con. The obvious choice is Lars Mikkelsen, but if it was Benedict Cumberbatch, I love when people pronounce his name wrong. They're like, Bondian Cumberbund.
Yes, Mr. Cumberbund.
So I think they could do it. Now, obviously we've joked, and even Tim has joked online, and I have too, with Rahul Kohli that he's Ezra, but he might be too old for the role.
Old Ezra.
But there is concept art now, too, again, fan-created, of Mina Massad as Ezra Bridger. If you don't know who Mina Massad is, Mina Massad was Aladdin in the live-action Aladdin, and he looks perfect.
He looks really good. Yeah.
Perfect.
He looks really, really good.
So that's another one where if that's the route they go and that's where the rumors have pointed, not mad. I think he would play a phenomenal Ezra Bridger.
I think he's really young looking in the face, but still like he still has that older. He has like that older teenager, like early 20s body type.
Yeah.
Be perfect.
WP Boy on Twitch said, what does this all mean, though? We have a ton of new EU characters who are alive and out there in the universe, but how does that expand on the new trilogy stuff? This is my biggest question or even issue. With Rise of Skywalker and The Force Awakens, none of these plots really matter anymore. The only thing right now that they're working on that plays into the sequel trilogy that is on screen, because they've obviously done literature around it, and that show Resistance that I really don't like that much.
Ugh.
Bad. Is The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian is tracing the story of the rise of the First Order, in my opinion. Like, that's kind of where we'll leave off. but Mandalore's, they're also telling the story of Mandalore next season. I have a feeling, though, that will lead to... I think we will see... what's the father's name? What's the older Hux?
What?
Not Brendel, that's the young... Is Brendel the father?
Yes. I don't remember. I know you're talking about Daddy Hux.
I think you will see Daddy Hux and Sloane and Gallius Rex before the end of Mandalorian. Whether it's in passing, yes. I guarantee
you. You won't see Gallius Rex.
Why?
And you won't... I don't...
Mando's before Aftermath.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's right. No, Mandalorian's after. It's after the Battle of Jakku.
Are you sure?
Yes. Because Battle of Jakku was the final fight of the Empire after the Death Star blew up.
All right, so then we'll see Sloane because Sloane was in Squadrons, which is after the Battle of Jakku.
Maybe. She's out in deep space doing stuff though, so I don't know.
I mean, we're in the Outer Rim.
Yeah, but she's supposed to go farther than that.
And they keep talking about something's happening in the Outer Rim, something's happening in the Outer Rim, which to me is the rise of the First Order.
I think they're going to go to the chaos. Like, I think that they're building something out in the chaos. They have to be building something out in the chaos.
Well, I think that's Ahsoka's show, no?
If they're going to bring the Chiss, if they're going to bring the Ascendancy into it, then yes.
And knowing how Star Wars is working, Din will probably be in an episode or two of Ahsoka's show.
Maybe.
Because supposedly Bill Burr's character is a character in Book of Boba Fett.
Well, that makes sense.
So they're linking everything together. How that plays into the sequel trilogy, I think they're staying away from it for now. For the most part,
yeah, no, because definitely it's living
so divisive.
The Skywalker saga.
So they're really enjoying filling in between 6 and 7 right now. That seems to be where the sweet spot is within the. I don't have the errors in front of me. Let's see. I'll pull them up. I got them right here. Face ID within the between the age of the Rebellion and the age of the New Republic, and the rise of the First Order, which is. The end of the timeline. So yeah, that's where we sit, and I think that's where they're having the most fun filling in right now, aside from fleshing out the High Republic, which again, I think
I'm very confused with what they're doing with that. Like,
I think they're going to tell a linear story in the High Republic. Like, we're learning all these things that happen after each other or during each other. And then we're going to get these 9 books or whatever. And then Acolyte is going to be the end of that timeline.
Yeah, but I'm just confused as to, like, what they're doing with the cinematic stuff versus, like, literature. Like, are we going to be getting a show for High Republic? Or is it just going to stick all... Okay, but that's it, though.
They have to flesh out the era first.
Because Acolyte ends... It's right at the end of that of the High Republic age.
Right. So I'm assuming it'll give rise to whatever, you know, the Sith have been deceiving for all this
right.
time.
It just feels weird that they would spend so much time developing this new part of the timeline to have it all come to a final show. Like, just like everything ends at this show. It just seems like a lot, you know, like it seems like they're doing a lot of content around. They're not doing a lot of visual content around the High Republic.
Let me rephrase. I don't think the story will, like, all connect and be perfect. I just think they're giving you a timeline of significant events to work off of. The same way we've gotten 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 now. And then you can drop in your Rogue Ones, your Solos, your Mandalorians.
So what are you... Oh, okay. So what are you saying that, like... Do you feel like you can go into Acolyte without ever reading any of these books or comics?
Probably, yeah.
Interesting.
But if you read the books and comics, you'll have... way more context, i.e.
sure,
when they went to Tython and Mandalorian, we all knew what Tython was, but my wife, if she wasn't married to a huge nerd, would just be like, okay, desert planet, like, that's Boba Fett, you know?
Yeah.
So Star Wars can play to both sides. Marvel does it too.
Sure.
You know, if you know more about comics, you can enjoy and pull more from the MCU.
Agreed.
But if you're just there for the story, it's still kick-ass.
Yeah.
So, that's that for that. There's been a lot of leaks, too, of Obi-Wan's set, apparently.
More?
Well, the new one was, like, it's like a side shot past the shipping containers that they put on top of it to block the view. But there's a hole, not a hole, but there's an opening where you can see right in. And it looks like Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru's house.
Oh no!
Yeah. So. Well, they cast the original actors from
the ones
prequel.
From episode two, three.
Yeah, they're cast them, so they're bringing them back for consistency.
Yep.
I love the people that are like, "Do you think we'll see young Luke in this?" And I'm like,
"Oh God,
you don't think we'll see young Luke? Because that'd be a little weird if we didn't. It's on Tatooine. No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he'd be like a toddler."
Depends like when with, it depends. No one knows exactly when it is.
I'm gonna say he's gonna between the ages of 2 and 8.
Depends. Because how old is he in Rebels? 12.
How old is he in Rebels?
10.
I mean, Rebels happens right. Rebels happens before Rogue One, and after Episode 3.
But what's the timeline between
so
Rebels and Rogue
be like
One?
50, he's got to be like 15 or something like that in Rebels.
Well, so it's okay, right before
when,
everything goes
when did,
down.
When did he go off? When did he go off to fight in the rebellion? What is he like?
16? 17?
He's 16.
I think he's 16.
He's kind of old looking for 16. 16.
Have you
right?
watched A New Hope recently? He is like an annoying teenager.
Yeah, I know. Okay, but
I
16,
just watched
right?
it last week.
You want to just say 18? Call it 18. Legal age on Tatooine to go fight in a rebellion?
He's 19.
He's 19. Okay. So, yeah. Luke in Rebels is probably like 15.
I'm going to ask Google. Google knows. How old is Luke in Rebels?
Oh, my God. That's such a like exact question.
He's about 17. Wow, he seems so much younger.
Ooh, I called it.
But doesn't he seem so much younger in that scene?
He looks little.
When she's like, Luke!
Yeah, so Luke in the Obi-Wan show has got to be around, I was around like 8. Woohoo, look at me go.
You are good.
Sick.
This specifically comes from We Got This Covered, which isn't the most reliable source. But this is all over everywhere as well, so... This was the article I grabbed, but the rumor inside is that Revan is getting solo content. We don't know if it's a movie. We don't know if it's a television show. We do know it's live action, according to this rumor.
Oh, it is live action.
Yes.
Okay.
According to this rumor, it's live action. It is not animated.
Damn, animated would have been so sick, though.
So what I want them to go back to, I don't know how to say his name, Tartakovsky, the guy that made the old Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And have him make old Republic cartoons, like the old Clone Wars,
yeah,
of just thousands of Jedi and Sith fighting each other. That's all I want. Is Revan canonically male or female? We don't know. In Legends, he's male. But we don't know. And then Mira Sutrik, who's the your character in 2, is female.
Mm-hmm.
The Keanu quick rumor was not in anything I read on this.
That
aside
was a
from
long
people,
time ago.
Yeah, aside from people referencing that as a rumor, there was no new Keanu rumors.
A lot of it was just like, oh, he looks so good, and they just like compared like his face to the first KOTAR.
Yeah. So there wasn't much in the way of referencing that.
I wonder what that would look like. I wonder if that would be. I feel like that would be a movie. Like I feel like Revan would get a movie. I don't know if
so
that would be a show.
Hear me out. I've been thinking about this. Revan getting a Disney Plus only release would be so much better for Disney because they wouldn't have to introduce a new character at the box. Yes, you can sell a bunch of things with just the name Star Wars. But think how many more people would buy it if it was in their house and learn about this character that probably a third of the Star Wars fan base knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So what if it, and Bob Chapek is super into digital.
Yes.
He is super into consuming media at home. He is not really a movie guy and not a theme park guy. That being said, I feel like a Disney Plus movie, despite COVID, whatever happens here, we're all back to normal, no masks, whatever the future looks like. Whatever happens, a Disney Plus Revan movie.
Yeah.
Or miniseries, the way they're doing Obi-Wan, perhaps, might be the play.
Yeah, I think like a miniseries, like a 4 or 5-parter. Because I wouldn't see Revan getting like a multi-year contract.
If every rumor is true, that would also mean that this would be aligned with either, because we've heard both, Coder 3 or the re-release of Coder with, I guarantee you, and this rumor I 100% believe, a remastered version of the old ones, too.
Yeah.
So I think all of that would play together after Celebration next year.
Because
they are not... So if you're going to introduce Revan to the world...
Yeah.
You're going to show the people that you know who he is. And there's only one time, I won't even say once a year. Right, where all of those people are in the same room or sitting at home watching.
Yeah.
And the pop they can get from that. So, we'll see. It's, Revan is somewhere on their whiteboard of flowchart,
cool,
whatever.
I mean,
he's
like,
somewhere.
I would love to see the Old Republic pulled back in.
I want to know how Disney's going to tell a story. Like,
yeah,
they can't kill off Malik.
No, there's a lot of meat there. And I hope they don't do it in the High Republic way. Like the High Republic way of like introducing new characters and information and like building out this universe has been cool. Like doing it through like this style of like doing it in books and comics and whatnot. Like this is interesting, but I want to see them play more into the digital stuff for a introduction of the Old Republic back into the timeline. Because currently, right now, that doesn't exist. So if a Revan show, maybe that's the hit that how they herald in the Old Republic back into the timeline.
He has to lead it. Like,
that would have to be the beginning of the Old Republic. Like how Disney begins to tell that story would be, like that would start it. That would have to be the start.
He is iconic. Is the Palpatine novel canon? I don't think it is, right?
Uh,
I don't know.
Because there's mention of, I think it's in Palpatine or the one about his master. One of the books mentions Darth.
The Darth Plagueis one is canon. I slowly have been going through that.
What
do they talk about in this one? They talk about Darth Bane a bit.
So one of them talks about Darth Malgus, like his something of his teachings or something, a data pad from him. And Darth Malgus is the main antagonist in SWTOR, the game, which is 400 years after Revan. So he's considered part of Old Republic. Revan is mentioned as one of the named legions on Exegol for the Sith troopers, the Revan Legion. So
episode 9.
I read another. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I read another article how Disney is just dripping the Old Republic in through every piece they can to keep, you know, you and me, the ones who go searching for these things, this breadcrumb trail. And I read another thing too, Tim, on Exegol, and even if it isn't the Starforged necessarily, to trace it back to the Old Republic and figure out how it became this haven of evil.
Oh, interesting.
It could even be in High Republic if you think about it. Like, if there's no Sith in the galaxy, well, where would the Sith be hanging out?
Yeah.
They could be on Exegol, running this cult. So, we could learn more about Exegol, which, if we learn more about Exegol, doesn't that make Episode 9 a little better? Because we finally have some context for it.
That's the whole thing, is just there's no context to it, so it just feels so awkward and disjointed.
But how much cooler did Episodes 4, 5, and 6 get after you fleshed out 20 years of storytelling around it?
Oh, it got so much better. Yeah.
You know, so even Boba Fett. Boba Fett's comics are really good. Boba Fett is a movie character and Mandalorian. Sorry. You know how Tim and I feel.
That sucked. Oh, hopefully his character is better in the Book of Boba.
I hope so, too. Hopefully. I hope he's a gigantic asshole, like, mob boss.
I just want to be a mob boss. That's all I want him to do.
I didn't like nice kung fu Boba Fett. I wasn't a fan. Cool. So that's all of the rumor mill stuff we got going on today. We will hit your questions a bit later if you need to use the questions command on Twitch. I don't think they have anything on Facebook.
I thought you were
going
to give them a potty break. I thought you were like, if you need to, go use the bathroom.
I mean, you can use the bathroom right now if you want.
No, you... Well, okay, you pause the podcast. You pause the video. You go potty. Come right back.
Tim and I are not taking a break. We are going to go straight to the Patreon question.
Oh, sick.
This Patreon question is brought to you by patreon.com/rare drop, the cool place where you can support Rare Drop in a deeper, deeper, deeper way. Deep, so much deeper.
How deep?
So deep that you can listen to a podcast episode that Tim and I recorded with Paul that no one else except the patrons has heard, called the WTF Podcast.
Okay, what if they don't like Paul? What else do they get?
You? Everybody likes you here.
What else do they get?
They get to see the behind the scenes on a lot of stuff we work on. They got to see...
True.
They got the patrons got to see all of the GCX mocks that didn't make it to the final phase. They have seen all the merch that is to come that has not been released to the public for GCX.
They get Kevin of the Month pictures.
They get Kevin of the Month pictures, which last month was Darth Vader or Lord Kevin Vader.
Okay, hold on. Let's talk about this real quick since we're a Star Wars podcast. Rare Drop did an April Fool's video of where Kevin was Darth Vader for the day.
Yep.
There's a scene where I meet our new CEO, Darth Vader, Darth Kevin, for the first time. And the part of the skit is Kevin cuts my hand off with a lightsaber. I put my hand out to give him a handshake, and Kevin cuts my hand off. Kevin showed that video to his son, who's six, right?
Yep.
Hunter's six.
Yep.
He's six. He thought his dad chopped my hand off in real life.
Legit thought I chopped Tim's hand off. Was very upset with me. Said, Daddy, that's scary. How could you do that to Tim? Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, so hear me out. Next time...
No.
I see you.
Please don't scar the child.
What if we get the fake hand?
Oh, no. I already told him we have the fake hand in the office because he was super upset.
Darn.
I still think when it comes time for you to do fundraising this year for St. Jude that you should do... like 150K and you can just open palm slap me to the chest with that hand.
Oh my God, yes.
I would take that for the kids.
All right.
We're talking. Okay, so if you didn't see the video, you should go watch it. I don't know if Paul has a link. He can drop it in chat. But either way, it's a rubber hand. It feels like a sex toy. It's super
really
solid.
Creepy.
It's made for tattooing, like practicing tattooing. That's actually what it's made for.
Or so, for doing nails.
For it. So it's supposed to feel like a solid hand. So we were screwing around, and I hit myself with it on the shoulder. I was like, oh, God damn it, that hurt. So I said, you know, if Tim can hit a certain goal when he fundraises this year, which you'll find out more about that in the next few months, then I would take one of the chests for 150K, and let
it
Tim
would hurt
just
too.
Pull,
like, it,
pull,
he,
pull.
He would,
I'll be on the
he
ground.
Would bruise.
I'll be on the ground, and it will
yeah,
leave
he'll
a mark.
Bruise.
So 200K
that's
and Tim
that's
plays
Kevin's wa- desk.
200K and Tim plays Warzone with the hand. All right, so patreon.com/rarechop. This comes from New Nerd, who's hanging out in Twitch chat tonight. Thank you,
hey bud,
for being a patron and being awesome. Of all the Jedi, Sith, Mandalorians, and clones we as fans have encountered, whose teachings would you like to study and or be apprenticed to? Legends and EU are included. Wow, that's a really good question.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
oh, man.
I'm going to go with, honestly, I like to say I'm very passive and more like a Jedi, but I know myself and I know personally the most attractive thing in the universe. And again, this is basing the fact that this would be Kevin in this universe, so Kevin doesn't know how to use the Force. I would do my best to try and become some sort of Mandalorian foundling situation thing.
So, but yeah, but like, who would you learn from?
I don't know. I'd have to figure that out.
Hmm. So, but okay. So would you want to be like Death Watch, or would you want to be
like old Mandalore?
Yeah. Like you want to be Mandalore,
like Mandalore the Great.
Mm-hmm.
One
okay.
of them, whichever one, like old school. Like remember Candorous Ordo from Old Republic game. You could go to him on the Ebon Hawk, and he would have a new war story for you every time you talk to him. Like that guy.
Ah. See, you just... Okay.
He would talk about the glory of fighting Jedi and killing them.
Right.
And Sith.
This is hard. I think Qui-Gon. I'm going to go with Qui-Gon because he's not your stereotypical Jedi.
No, he's basically what the definition of a gray Jedi is. That's
he's,
pretty
yeah,
much
he's
Qui-Gon.
Pretty rogue. What is the term in High Republic, Kevin, where they're like, they're not like they're Jedi, but
oh,
they don't listen
what's
to the council.
Name? Who's that? Orla Jereni?
Yeah, they're not rogue. They're you know what I'm talking about. I would like
Wayfinder,
that
Pathfinder, something like that.
Something like that. I want to be that kind of person.
Oh shit, Orla Zimbarran. I know did not pick up on that. She is a Wayseeker, thank you.
Wayseeker. I would like to be a Wayseeker.
If I was a Force user, again, sorry to go Old Republic, but Jolie Bindo would be the dude to hang out with. Do you remember Jolie from the game, Tim?
Yes.
The old guy that lived on Kashyyyk in the woods?
Yes.
On the base of Kashyyyk where you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be up in the Rorschach trees. Is something wrong that I keep thinking of Sith Lords? No. No. I did get
speaking
to...
Speaking of Sith Lords, though.
Uh-huh.
Sorry if I cut you off. You can finish your... Yeah, I just had this... like that was like the perfect segue for the comic. So go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that I got to a part in Aftermath where Sloane is explaining that
what?
Slavery is not something she agrees with in the Empire, that it was a means to an end to maintain control.
Yes.
But that to really show the glory of the Empire, they need people dedicated to the cause and not mindless slaves, which I found very interesting.
She has a very different outlook on how, like, the Empire operates.
So, yeah, speaking of Sith, because they do come into play in the new comic, which I thought was f***ing amazing.
It was so cool, Kevin!
Finally, some good context on the Drengir. And okay, it's so, pretty much what we thought it was, but to see it played out in a comic was excellent thing.
Yeah, okay. So for those that haven't been listening, we've been doing kind of just like our take on the High Republic comics. We've done issues 1 and 2. We're now on 3 and 4. And in these two issues, we get to meet the Drengir. And so we finally get to like see like how we finally get to learn more about like how they awoke. Have they awakened? They've come to be?
The twins, the Tarek and Sarret, that operate as one mind.
Yes.
The opening panel, I'm not sure which one is which. I think Tarek is the one that they're still with Avar and Skeer. The dude just freaking out, saying the darkness grows, it must be fed, it must be nourished, with his like eyes black as night. It's so crazy.
The reason why that was happening is because his twin was being infected by the Drengir.
And he's like foaming at the mouth. And
yeah, and so just because they share a mind, that was happening to him. But that was so cool. That was really neat that he was able to infect him. And we finally get to find out that Skeer, he gave himself freely to the Drengir.
To learn about them. What a badass.
Which is really, what a badass, dude. That's why Trandoshan Jedi is so cool.
Dude, what
because
about...
Because he immersed himself in the enemy, got infected to learn their weakness.
What about...
He's so badass.
I'm really enjoying Avar being a main part of the story, too, now.
I do, too.
But what's his name? Back on Starlight, Master Maru.
Yeah, he's a cool character.
With the freaking... The hut body that has the Drengir living in it.
Yeah.
And it just... The best noise about that is it says slurp as it's ripping open.
But we got to learn about the Sith stat. We got to learn about the Drengir more, that the Sith were very much so involved with the Drengir taking over planets and just eating all living creature that was on the planet. That's all they did. They would infest a planet. They'd eat all living beings and then move on. And so the Sith wanted to team up with them and take advantage of their rampage, their warpath. But apparently the Drengir get too powerful, and so they use those statues to sedate the main part of the hive mind. What do they call it, Kevin?
The main part? The root?
Yeah, what is like the main part of the Drengir called that was suppressed by the statues? It had a weird name, Regenesis or
Oh, it's in the comic. It says it. Hold on.
Yeah, I know it's in the comic. I was hoping you had the comic open.
I have issue 3. It's in issue 4. Because I wanted to the panel. I'm not sure what page this is, but the panel where the Drengir reveals themselves to Keeve.
Yeah.
And it just says meat, meat, meat over and over again. Also, when Keeve is walking through the cave and it's just in her head, all she hears is you will be consumed, all will be consumed. Yeah. The Drengir, when they finally make it to your TV or the movies, oh my God, I have a feeling they're going to be terrifying. Like,
yeah,
Halo Hive levels of terrifying. That's the vibe I'm getting from the Drengir. Dude, and then...
The progenitor.
The panel where Tarek like spits that black blood in Skeer's face.
It looks like flies.
It's intense.
It's gross.
Is this comic timetable in conjunction with the Light of the Jedi book? This takes place after Light of the Jedi. So yes. Starlight Beacon has been. When the first issue comes out, Starlight Beacon, the end of that issue is the coronation of Starlight Beacon, which happens at the end of Light of the Jedi. So they kind of overlap slightly.
And then this part in the comic, the events of book 2 Into the Dark have already happened because the Drengir are now awake. So the way the Drengir awake is by the Jedi removing the Sith totems from the base,
which then awakes the Drangir.
Yeah,
and so
and into the
they're
dark.
All connected. They're all connected to this
progenitor.
This progenitor.
The progenitor seems to be on that planet, though, where
no, the progenitor is what the totems were circling around on
okay.
the space station.
It wasn't on the because they show the frame when they talk about the progenitor, and it's the two Jedi from Into the Dark going to that planet.
I could have sworn that was them down in the belly of the station.
It could be. It could. I'm assuming.
Yeah, they just say that like so they trapped the yeah they trapped the first of us within their totems, forcing her to sleep.
Okay, so then yeah,
and they say when she slept, we slept with her.
Right. So then the soldiers were on that planet.
Yeah.
Also, Eivor just slicing that huge Drangir like it was nothing right down all the way to the bottom.
I'm excited to see what these actually like look like. I really want to see them come to life on screen because they're terrifying. Like they are something so scary that the Sith were afraid of them. And so they had to be
process that.
Like that's terrifying. And so like I don't even know how the Jedi are gonna, if Sith couldn't beat them, the Jedi having to fight against these things that infect and grow inside other things, like they're like very zombie-esque where they infect things, like almost like Alien to a certain degree, is they infect it and then they grow inside of it and then they explode out of it. It's pretty gross.
Mr. Pizza Feet said, gonna look awesome but curious how they do the voices without sounding cheesy. The me lol. If you do the audiobook for Into the Dark, the person who does the voice acting actually does a phenomenal job of bringing the Drangir sound to life.
Like, it's not going to be like great. No, it's going to be very like he did a very good job of making it sound very visceral, but very much so like
you were scared.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounded like a monster you'd be afraid of.
Yeah. Last of Us or Alien. Yeah. No, it was. So when I had seen the Drangir, I never expected them to speak basic, but they speak basic, which is actually a bit more terrifying because it shows you how sentient they are.
Well, it seems like as they feed, they're pulling all of the information from the thing that they're feeding on.
Right.
Like they were pulling memories. Like when he was when the Drangir was talking through Skeer, he was mentioning things that only Skeer would know.
Right.
But the Drangir is saying it for him. So yeah, I think that's what's happening is as it's consuming and as it's feeding, it's learning from the things that it drains. So that's why it knows basic. I'm sure it knows all different types of languages.
So does the picture of the two Sith in the store when they're doing the story with all the vines in their noses and mouth and ears.
Yep.
Eventually, I'm sure they'll let us know who those two Sith are in this panel.
You think so? Is it that you think?
Years from now, they'll be. Yeah, I mean, they'll be tied into something else years from now. And they'll be like, oh, my God, that was the two Sith from the comic.
All right.
Because eventually they're going to want to tell the actual story of the Drangir.
Yeah, just like they're just a talking point, not an important character.
Oh, no, I don't think they'll be important, but when they tell the story, okay. They'll be like Darth butt shit and, you know, Darth duty bug.
Sure. Okay.
Slurk is actually the sound that the Drangir coming out of the. So in this, there's a Drangir loose on Starlight Beacon, too, which could be problematic considering they just got it up and running.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how they shut that thing down because it seems like as they like get cut up, they just multiply.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Does Skeer get to keep the hand now?
So Okay, so for the way that I'm looking at this.
Context for those that are like going to read this or maybe haven't read it or missed it. Skeer lost his arm in Light of the Jedi.
Right. He got his arm.
So he's been one arm this right entire off. Time. Now he has an entire vine arm given to him by the Drangir,
right?
Go ahead.
That I think is what connects him to the Drangir, and that is why he will not let go of that. Because he could, because as a Transdosian, he's a lizard. He can regrow any limb that he loses. So I think because he wants to beat the Drangir, he's got to be a part. He has to continue that connection to be one step ahead of them. And that's how I see it, as to why he's keeping the arm. Because they say like we got to get it off of you, so you like you don't have that connection anymore. And he's like, no, I need this.
It's interesting because he seems to break again. I don't know which one it is, but Sarah Tarek's connection too. when he frees them. So he must be deep in there. Shit as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, he was able to. Yeah, no, he's like in deep in the hive mind. He was able to like stop things from moving. And he was able to like really like control them. It was weird.
Like, take a step back though and conceptualize how crazy and cool that is.
Yeah, no, it's very.
He's
neat.
In the hive mind.
Yep.
Causing disruption.
So I'm really enjoying this comic. I'm curious to see how this ties into the next book that comes out in June, right?
Yes. June 1st, 5th, something like that. Or July?
June or July, one or the other.
Because
Bad Batch is May the 4th. And then there's
the Rising
a couple
Storm
books coming out.
Is the next one, right? June 2021. June 29th,
okay, so June.
2021.
What comes out in July?
Nothing. This is June 29th, so.
Oh, so it's practically July.
Yeah, let's see. There's another High Republic comic, too, by the way. There's another one with Yoda in it. It's called Adventures.
Ooh. Is it like the one for kids?
No, it's I don't think Marvel's making it though, right? Is that why it's not available on the other one?
Is it Black Horse?
IDW?
Oh. Okay.
All new ongoing series in the glory days of the Republic, centuries before the adventures of Luke, Leia, Han, and Chewbacca. The Jedi stand as guardians of galactic peace until a powerful new adversary called the Nihil arrives. Now a group of young Padawans training under Master Yoda must protect the Republic while learning the lessons that will one day lead them to become powerful Jedi in their own right.
Wait, is this during the time of Luke and Leia?
No, before. Before the adventures.
I didn't hear the centuries before. I just heard the adventures of Luke and Leia at the Nihil. I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, this is where that other Jedi, Buckets of Blood, he's in this one.
Oh, I love his name.
Let me see if I can order two of these tonight. I'll do that afterwards. I'd really like to wait till they were a book, but don't worry about it. So the planet that they're on, I forget the name of it, but this one dude... He says he's the speaker for all the people, and he's kind of an asshole to everyone that lives there.
Yes.
He keeps saying, you know, like someone else is in charge.
Yes.
So you're sitting there saying, okay, he's somehow serving the Drengir, or the Drengir got their hooks into him.
Yes.
But that's not the case.
Yeah, okay, so this introduction of the Hutts.
I loved it.
I thought that was the coolest paint, like the artistry that was done there was so good. That, like, flipping to that last page, it was fantastic. I'm excited to see what this hut. What do you even call that?
So it's a hut. It's a hut warlord. It's a hut warlord. If you haven't seen it, and it's two Gamorreans. The warlord is on some sort of floating platform. First of all, they come on a ship that kind of looks similar to the one from Return of the Jedi, a little bit. It's got that vibe. But then this Hutt warlord skulls around on the necklace and some android parts. And then these two rancors flank them with Gamorreans on top of it and just says, "Rawr!" And then he says, here, I'll do the voice.
"Rejoice, wretched creatures. Your planet is now the property of the glorious Hutt cartel."
I love that so much.
So
the Rancors in armor look so neat,
right? I want to play this video game and have them be the raid boss. That's what I want.
I've never seen Rancors and a Hutt in battle armor before, so I'm very excited to see what happens next.
Yeah, it's so cool.
So, chat, if you haven't yet, you should most definitely check out the High Republic comic. Kevin, we've been using the Marvel comic app. They're like, what, like $4 a piece?
Yeah, each issue has been $4. I believe if you have Marvel Unlimited, they're included, but don't quote me on that. It looks really nice. Here, I'm not supposed to do this, but I'll show you on my iPad.
They're like super high res. They look really, really good.
Like, it looks, oh, nope, those are all my messages. You can't see those. Here. It looks really nice on my iPad. Can you see that? Full high definition.
Yep. And I mean, like, I really haven't been one to, like, want to pick up a comic, but even, like, the format
that is done on the app is great because it like takes you from like panel to panel and moves you around the way that you're supposed to go. It's great. It's really cool.
Oh my gosh, Breezy, it does have that vibe. Rejoice, you will now be killed by the children of Thanos.
Yes, yes, it does. Very much so. Very much so.
Oh, Disney. But yeah, the comics have been really, really good. I've enjoyed them a lot more than I thought I would.
I didn't think I was going to like it.
You know, you want to know something? Star Wars comics are good. They always have been, and I have a feeling they mostly always will be. Some are really silly, but the Vader comic's really good. The Kylo comic's really good. This one's really good. Dr. Aphra, nothing but good things. So there's a plethora of stuff to read in the comic book world, and it's they're so easily consumable that I feel like it's a no-brainer to spend the $4 and just go for it.
Super fun. And then we'll have more things that you check it out, and then we'll have more things to talk about next week.
Yeah. But I think that does it for us today, Tim, doesn't it?
No one asked any questions? That's why I was like, you can ask us questions next week, but this week we have these questions.
Yeah, we do.
And these questions are brought to you by Kings Coast Coffee. Head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com to order your fresh-to-order roasted coffee.
But, Tim, that shirt, where did you get it?
Oh, this shirt. Well, this has nothing to do with Kings Coast Coffee. This actually has to do with High Score Tees. And we'll talk about that later.
If I wanted to get that shirt, how do I get it?
You guess you'll just have to pay attention to April 29th.
Are you talking about 429?
Yep, 429, Kevin.
Interesting. I feel like
weird.
I need Little Orphan Annie's secret decoder pin to figure this one out.
A crummy commercial? Son of a bitch.
Andrew asks, Tim, do you recommend reading Thrawn Ascendancy series or Thrawn series first?
Thrawn series first. Don't read Ascendancy. Because Thrawn Ascendancy gives you a lot of backstory into Thrawn and the overall Chiss Ascendancy, but you can't really learn about that before learning about Thrawn and his time in the Empire, because it'll give you more. There are characters that are introduced in Thrawn Ascendancy that show up in Thrawn, and I think they just are more important if you read it through if you read Thrawn books 1 through 3 and then go into Ascendancy. They're also still riding Ascendancy, so it's not done yet. So I would say do the first 3 Thrawn books and then start Ascendancy.
Weirwood said, do you want Coda remastered or remade like Final Fantasy VII or both? Okay, you're not going to get both.
I want a Final Fantasy VII remake.
No, I want a new story for
them.
That's
what I want.
To kick it off. And I want a functional remaster of 1 and 2 that gives a nice upgrade to it. So I can go back and relive the classic, but with, you know, an easier time.
I don't think you're going to get Diablo 2, and then you're going to get a, hey, this happened in the Diablo 2 shell, but we're going to completely remake the game.
I don't want them to completely remake it. I want them to be able to, like, you can't, unless you have it on console, you can't even have a controller port on the Steam version of Coder 1. You have to use a mouse and keyboard, and it's
terrible.
Didn't
you just say that you wanted them to rewrite the story?
I want them to rewrite the story for a new game, a completely new Knights of the Old Republic series reborn.
Right, so you want a new Knights of the Old Republic, and then on top of that, you want Coder 1 and 2 remastered.
Functionally remastered in the same way they're doing Mass Effect.
Man, you want a lot.
I think they'll do it.
That's a lot, Kevin.
You know why? Because you'd pay for all of that. And most of the people in these chats would pay for all of them.
I'd just pay for the new one. I wouldn't play the old one again.
I would.
What's the whole point if I'm just going to play a brand new story?
Memories?
I'd rather make new ones.
How has the Old Republic changed by there not being hyperspace? I don't know, because the hyperspace timeline is completely different in Disney's canon than the Legends. So that is a good question, and I have no idea how that's all going to play out. I'm sure they'll think of something.
It's a good question, though.
It is a good question. Justin asks, would you recommend reading the High Republic comic before the next book? So what you want to do is read Light of the Jedi. Then I would read Light of the Jedi. I would read Into the Dark. Then I would come back to the comic and read that. because learning about the Drengir in Into the Dark is way more of a better introduction to them than what you get in the comic. The comic is this additive.
Well, a lot of the parts in the comic happen after Into the Dark, anyways.
Parts in the comic.
So. Yeah, so like,
well, they talk about what happens into the dark in a small way in the comic.
Yeah.
Great. So yeah, because Into the Dark is happening during Light of the Jedi, so you want to get those two books out of the way before you get into the comic. And then the new book is out. Bada bing, bada boom. And I don't know about the other comic where that drops in, but chat would probably be more than happy to give you the answer to that. But what is this Into the Dark? It is a book and audiobook. That's the one that came out in Febtober? I don't remember.
What? Febtober?
You don't remember that from Celebrity Jeopardy?
No.
Febtober.
Yeah, so Into the Dark introduces another antagonist into the High Republic world, and it's the Drengir, and it's really cool.
It takes place during Light of the Jedi, so events that you know from Light of the Jedi are in Into the Dark. And Jedi that you meet in Into the Dark or Into the Light of the Jedi are referenced in Into the Dark, and then all of them are referenced in the comic books.
Yes.
So it's kind of important. Adventures is after Light of the Jedi and simultaneous with the regular High Republic comics. So if you're going to do all four books first, Marvel comic, and then the IDW Adventures comic, which chat, if you go into the Rare Drop Discord, can someone please link me if I can get that digital for me and Tim, the IDW one? Because that's it's just easier for us to share. But do it in the Rare Drop, the Star Wars Discord. So that's where I'll look for it. Chat, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. Again, this episode is brought to you by KingsCoastCoffee.com. You go to KingsCoastCoffee.com. New Trevor May roast.
Oh, crap. I got to do those singers for Paul.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because we don't want Kevin doing stingers for us.
He has me doing two.
Oh, boy.
New Trevor May roast is out. Stay tuned to High Score T's socials and Tim's socials.
Do your stingers sound like that?
The 29th of April might be a big deal. No, I do stingers professionally. I can buckle down and be an adult when I have to, Tim.
Okay, I'm just making sure, Kevin, you know, someone's got to keep this guy in check.
And you know,
just,
it'd be like, this coffee is brought to you by King's Coast Coffee. KingsCoastCoffee.com.
Nice.
Is that better?
That's better.
You okay with that?
Yeah, it's okay. All right. Let's punch it into hyperspace, kids. Let's get the heck out of here.
Chat, we love you. We'll see you for episode 42. Bad Batch is coming soon. And Tim and I might experiment with some new stuff regarding Star Wars and Scott. You know what I do want to do, Tim? I do want to sit on a couch with you once you're fully vaccinated and I'm allowed to see you. Wink. And play some of the old SNES Star Wars games.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Because they're ridiculously hard, and I would just love to see us.
Oh, that'd be frustrated. Super fun.
So, we'll see. Chat, you have a fantastic one. Stay tuned to the Rare Drop socials at Rare Drop CO or at Rare Drop on all the places. And you can check out Timmy's Darkness 429 Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, fb.gg/darkness429 and Darkness 429 everywhere else. And I'm Kevin. I'm the guy from Rare Drop, so just go to raredrop.co to check out all of my things. Our, us, the, my, I. We love you, chat. We'll talk to you later.
See you. May the force be with you. You forgot to say it.